Well, the main point of tonight's lesson, I believe, will be exceedingly clear. This lesson tonight is a call for sincerity, for a pure, bona fide sincerity on the part of each and every one of us. And to kind of set that up, I want to talk to you about really the age in which we live today. We're living in what some would refer to as the information age. And boy, there sure is a lot of it out there. And we can receive it in a variety of ways. Well, that presents some challenges. We are really pretty much bombarded with the ideas and opinions of other people. I mean, they're just flooding in on us from every different direction all the time. And then you combine that with all the customs and traditions that we're surrounded by. And what happens because of all of that is it's difficult then for us not to form some prejudices, which affect really then everything that we do. In other words, it's hard for us not to have some prejudicial views on certain things because of all the stuff that we've heard, all these ideas and opinions of other people. And then again, you combine that with all the customs and traditions around. And yes, that even applies religiously. We hear a lot of things from the religious community. We're bombarded with all kinds of ideas there. There's all kinds of customs and traditions that are practiced by different people. So again, it's hard to come away from all of that with a completely unprejudicial view of things. Well, the only solution that I know to this problem of prejudice, that is having these prejudicial views, is a serious effort by each and every one of us to obtain and maintain an attitude of sincerity. That's the solution. We've got to obtain and maintain an attitude of sincerity. In other words, we need to do our very best to become a sincere person in every sense of the word, in the fullest sense of the word. We need to be the sincere person that even the Bible speaks of. And what I hope that we'll be able to see tonight is really this is a key, a big key to everything else. Because we're going to look tonight at some of the characteristics of the sincere person. First of all, the sincere person is one who seeks the truth. Now, we're giving emphasis, obviously, in the lesson tonight, since this is a sermon and so it's, we are gathered together to worship God. We're going to give some emphasis on how this pertains to our service to God. But think about how this is true really in other realms as well. All along you'll hear in the academic community of some researcher who is researching some particular issue and he's trying his best to follow the science and all the findings that he has on this. And all of a sudden, then, he'll publish his views. And look out, his views aren't exactly politically correct. Sometimes his views may go against the establishment. His views may be one that might affect their funding for this research. In other words, it might be a little bit unpopular. And so that person kind of gets some pressure. They're like, oh, no, you don't need to say anything about that. You need to be quiet here. And I've even read recently of some who just quit the academic community altogether, said, I'm not going to be shackled by this at all. And so here, evidently, is a sincere person who just wants the truth on it, surrounded by some insincere people who really just have an agenda, who have a prejudicial view. And so, again, I think you can see that in other realms, that the sincere person is after truth. But we want to apply that especially to matters that pertain to God. The sincere person seeks the truth. Seeks the truth. On every issue, on every circumstance, everything that would pertain to our service to God, the sincere person wants the truth and nothing but the truth. You remember the passage that I know for those of you who are in the Wednesday night auditorium class, there in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 1, we talked a little bit about this, I think, on Wednesday night. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 1, the challenge that's issued to Jeremiah and to others here. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know, and seek her in open places. If you can find a man, if there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth. That's what God was looking for. Someone who seeks the truth. And that's really what a sincere person does. In Isaiah chapter 59, I remember in the last quarter when we were studying in the book of Isaiah out here on Wednesday, I remember running across this passage and what a great point is made here. Isaiah 59, beginning with verse 3. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. Well, a sincere person pleads for truth. I want the truth. I want to know what's right. I want to know what's right and I want to be right. What is the truth on this issue? That's really what matters to the sincere person. Now, something about that. A couple things about that. The person who determines to base his life on truth, and I hope that's the mindset of all of us here, so let's just go ahead and speak of it that way. We all want to base our lives completely on the truth, right? Well, let's understand that in doing that, we haven't exactly laid out for ourselves the easiest course to follow, have we? For a couple of reasons. First of all, it's going to take some effort to find out the truth, especially on certain matters. Think back to the class this morning, those of you who are out in the auditorium. We went into a lot of detail, didn't we, concerning those distinctions between the local church and the universal church. Well, I think we all realize that there's not one section in the Bible that says, okay, I'm about to tell you the differences between them. If you'll just read this part, then you'll know it. Man, we got to dig, don't we? We got to get after it. We got to look and look and look to know. And so there's a lot of effort involved. And so it's not the easiest course to follow. Bible study is not for lazy people. Truth seeking is not for lazy people. It's for diligent learners. And so, again, we've made the right decision in basing our lives on the truth, but we just need to know that's not the easiest course for us. But another reason it's not the easiest course is it's going to put us at odds with those who don't love the truth. Now, which one of these two groups is in the greater number? The ones who want nothing but the truth are the ones who really don't have the love for the truth that they should. Which one's in the greater number? If we're truth seekers, we're going to be in the minority. And that's always been the case, and it always will be the case. And we're going to be opposed by those who don't love it. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10 speaks of those who did not receive the love of the truth. Well, they're not going to like our stand, and they're not going to give us an awful lot of encouragement. In fact, they're going to try to discourage us in our quest for truth. But the sincere person is not deterred by any of that. I'm sorry, you're not going to stop me. Say what you want, do what you want, call me what you want. I am after truth. That's what the sincere person does. He seeks truth. But not only that, the sincere person is looking for all the truth. Looking for all the truth. I want you to think with me for just a minute about all the harm that has been caused, even in the religious world, by half-truths. Boy, we could talk and we could make that into a completely separate lesson. Here's the thing. If the devil and his minions can cause a person to subscribe to only part of the truth, the end is going to be the same condemnation as if they never subscribed to any truth at all. Isn't that sad? Half-truths. And really, isn't that the problem with Protestant denominationalism from the very beginning? We don't wish to be ugly here or just offensive just for the sake of being offensive, but that's been a problem in Protestant denominationalism since its inception. And that is, so much is based on a portion of the truth and not the whole truth. Now let's see if we can illustrate that a little bit. Everybody here, at least many of you, know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For some, that's all they need to know concerning salvation. I simply believe in Jesus. Presto, salvation. Well, the fact of the matter is, the truth is taught in John 3:16, but not all of it. We need to keep reading, right? We want to get to the bottom of it. We want to know everything, especially something that vital. We want to know all that God has said on it. Ephesians chapter 2. Look with me at verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2. Certainly an oft-quoted passage. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a great truth. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So people read that and they just kind of want to stop right there and they just immediately draw the conclusion, well then works have nothing to do with our salvation. There's nothing we can do to receive our salvation. But again, the sincere person is not about to stop at John 3:16. The sincere person is not going to stop at Ephesians 2:8 and 9. The sincere person who's all about the truth wants all of it. He doesn't want to make any decisions until he's gathered all the information. He wants to know. He wants to, again, get to the bottom of it. And so he keeps reading. And he reads passages like Acts 2 and verse 38 when people specifically asked what they needed to do. And they hear Peter and the other apostles say, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And they continue to see that same emphasis as they read through the book of Acts. They read the conversion of Saul, the account in Acts 22 where Ananias says, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. They read passages like Hebrews 5 and verse 9 that say Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. And so now the picture is becoming clearer, right? And we have by no means named all of the relevant passages here, but the point is we got to look at it all. before we come to some firm conclusions, especially before we go out trying to teach other people, we got to have all the information at our disposal. That's really what a sincere person does. Again, kind of think about this in other realms as well. Let's suppose you have some kind of mysterious medical problem and you don't really understand it very well, and the doctors are kind of struggling to come up with answers, or maybe they've kind of given some answers, but you're not really certain about it. I know what a lot of people do. What do? They get on the internet and they start Googling that problem. They want to know everything that's ever been said about it. They want to know the latest research on it. I suspect Chad and Lisa have done some investigating on their own. They want to know. They want to have the full picture. They want to know what all their options are, right? And you know why? Because they are sincere about finding a cure. That's how sincerity works. They're sincere. They want to know all the truth on it. Now, this doesn't just apply to the issue we talked about earlier about salvation, what to do to be saved specifically. It applies to everything else. Am I sincere in my desire to be a godly parent? Am I sincere in my desire to bring my children up in the training and admonition of the Lord? You know how you can tell if I'm sincere? If I open this book and I find every principle that I can possibly find that will help me in any way to train my children up or bring my children up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Am I a sincere husband? Do I sincerely want to love my wife as Christ loves the church? Well, again, whatever God has said on that issue, whatever principles of love there are anywhere throughout Scripture, I want to know those. And I want to implement those. What about other issues? Those that would pertain to modesty. Or any other issue along that line. What do? We look up everything about it. We want to have all the information there. Because we want to base our life on truth. Now remember, we're looking for truth. We're not just looking for truth. We want all of it. And we want to make those decisions about such things based on all the information at our disposal. Obviously, it applies to some of the things that we're talking about on Sunday morning in the auditorium class. Especially when it comes to the local church and its work and its worship and its organization. We're not just going to read one or two things, are we? We're going to look at every passage that says anything about its work, anything that says anything about its worship, its organization. We're going to put all that together. We're not going to implement anything. We're certainly not going to teach anything. We're not going to make decisions about our practices here until we have all of the information there, right? That's what the sincere person does. All right, but here's another characteristic of a sincere person, and we've kind of already touched on this a little bit. A sincere person applies or practices the truth. You know, there can be some satisfaction and even some joy from just learning the truth on whatever issue. Maybe even learning it very well, having a really thorough knowledge of the Scriptures, the Old Testament, and there's some joy, some satisfaction in just learning the truth. But it's not really valuable to us until what? Until it is applied. Until it is put into practice. All we've done is just kind of made it an intellectual thing. You know, see how smart I am. I know this. I can quote this passage. So it's not really valuable until we can put it into practice. You may be thinking of a passage that kind of speaks directly to that. How about James chapter 1? James chapter 1, beginning with verse 21. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So that passage speaks of receiving it, hearing it, learning it, and so forth. But notice the follow-up. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Again, think about how all this relates to sincerity. Suppose you go to someone and you're telling them about a wonderful doctor here in Prattville. Maybe one that they ought to take their children to and so forth. And you just brag on this person, I just highly recommend this person. And somebody said, well, do you go to him? No, no, we don't. We don't send our children there. What would they question? They would question the sincerity of your remarks, right? I mean, you really believe that, and yet you won't follow through on it? You won't take your children there? Especially when it comes to religious matters, we can preach certain things. We could have zealously sought after the truth and maybe even dug into all the truth, but a person has every right, to question our sincerity if we don't put it into practice. That's what a sincere person does. Whatever we learn that we ought to do, then certainly we do it. But then furthermore, a sincere person applies the truth without regard to consequences. Faith requires that we put complete confidence in God. And so when a certain situation calls for a certain application of truth, we do it without regard to the consequences and with full confidence in God. You see, the sincere person is fully persuaded that God's way is absolutely right, and that God would never require anything of us that would not be for our benefit. We've got full confidence in Him. So again, whatever He says, then we do it. Whatever consequences may come our way. Anytime I think about this, I always think of a couple of different groups of people that are introduced to us in the book of John. You remember the blind man's parents, right? That we're introduced to in John chapter 9. They knew that Jesus had healed their son. And they knew what that said about Jesus. They knew that He had come from God. They knew that He was the Son of God. And yet when people came to them and questioned them about who had healed their son, they wouldn't acknowledge Him. They wouldn't confess Jesus. You know why? Because they were fearful of the consequences. Because they would be cast out of the synagogue. They knew the truth. They knew the truth. But they would not practice it. They would not stand up for it, because they were fearful of the consequences. In John 12, another group of people, and we'll read specifically from this passage. John 12, verses 42 and 43. And you'll see, of course, the similarity between this and what we just talked about from John 9. John 12, beginning in verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. So, are you willing to do what's right? Are you willing to do what's right without regard to the consequences? Well, here's the thing. If you're truly sincere, you will. Because it's all about truth, right? It's about all the truth. It's about being honest about your convictions, right? Standing up for your convictions. That's really at the root of honest, bona fide sincerity. I'm going to stand up for it, no matter what. We need to understand that in some cases, our stand for the truth will make us less popular. It may alienate us from those that we love the most here on this earth. It may invite the scorn of other religious people. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but there would be those, even in this community, that would ridicule our efforts here. I mean, we are seen as very insignificant and very misguided and almost, in some people's eyes, like a cult, or you'll hear all kinds of different things said. That's going to happen. We have to understand that standing for the truth can sometimes be a very unpopular thing. But again, a sincere person will apply the truth without regard to consequences. Here's another point, and this one's going to seem, I guess, a little bit odd in this list, but hopefully we can explain it and show how it fits into all of this. The sincere person is respectful of the opinions of others. I want to kind of cover this from a couple of different sides here. The sincere person has such a high regard for truth that he will not force his opinions upon other people. You understand what I'm saying? You've got such a high regard for truth that when you know something is merely an opinion, that you haven't really studied this out yet, or you know that the Bible really doesn't speak that clearly on this particular thing, it's nothing but an opinion, you are not going to force that on other people. You see, the sincere person is honest with the truth. It is, of course, very difficult to judge the hearts of others. Sometimes we can get a pretty good idea by their fruits, of course, but you think there's a possibility that there are people out there teaching things that they know deep down are not really supported by the truth of the Scriptures, but they think they can pull it off on some unsuspecting people. You think that might be the case? In other words, we're dealing here with potentially uninformed people who really don't know a whole lot. Deep down, maybe a person knows that this is not really substantiated, but because it maybe promotes a personal agenda or whatever, or maybe accomplishes some good, at least as they would see it, we can go ahead and get this across. A sincere person would never, ever try to do something like that. Yeah, I'm going to teach the truth. We're going to encourage people, obviously, to apply that. But if it's not in the realm of truth, if I'm uncertain about this, or I know this is something that the Bible really doesn't definitively deal with, I'm going to treat it as such. Now, there's another side to that. Because a sincere person has sought after the truth and has really a pretty good knowledge of the truth, he's not going to allow people to force their opinions on him either. He's going to know that that's an opinion, right? He's going to know that's not the truth. Really, again, what it comes down to is a sincere person is all about the truth. He has such a high regard for truth. He's not going to force his opinions on others. He's not going to allow people to do the same thing to him. Remember Job's friends? In the book of Job? I guess we studied that, about a year ago now? Somebody will probably tell me later that was 2 years ago. That's kind of how my mind works now at an advanced age. But they had some really strong opinions about his calamity, right? And all the things that were going on with him. They had an explanation for everything of it. I mean, they made some long-winded speeches to make sure they had informed Job properly as to what the problem was and why you're going through all of this, and here's what you need to do, and if you'll do this, then everything will be better. Well, what was the problem with all those speeches? Well, there were some half-truths in there. Some of what they said was the truth, and some of it was just complete opinion. And Job wasn't much on that, was he? I think about Job when he talked about how he would hold fast to his integrity, and I think that fits in very well. Job did want the truth. He was determined to find that. He wasn't going to, just listen to opinion altogether. And so, sincerity, maybe there's a whole lot more to it than we sometimes realize. And I'll tell you kind of what got me to thinking about this lesson. It's a little bit embarrassing to admit, but some of you may recall me preaching a lesson. I probably preached it here actually a couple times, but it's a lesson that deals with the fact that sincerity alone is not enough, that sincerity must be coupled with truth. And I preached that same lesson over in Kenya one time, and Brad came to me afterwards, and I said something about, I don't know that that went as well as I thought it would, or maybe I didn't get some points across as well as I should have, or so forth. And he said, well, one point you should have made is a sincere person will seek the truth, and the sincere person will find it. He said, there's a reason why sincerity and truth are coupled together in passages like the one Brian read from Joshua 23 and verse 14. In 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8 and some other passages. Well, there's a reason why they're coupled together, because a sincere person gets after it. The truly sincere person seeks the truth, seeks all of the truth. And so, another thought that occurred to me is, and this is certainly very much a judgment view, this may not be a bad starting point, maybe with some people that we study with. Could be. I mean, that's a decision that you would make, and I'll do some thinking on that, and I guess it'll sort of depend on the person that I'm studying with and kind of where they are, but this might not be a bad place to start. To talk about sincerity and really where honest-to-goodness sincerity will take you. Honest-to-goodness sincerity will take you to the truth. And you won't accept anything but that. I love the passage. I think maybe the Powells have this at the bottom of their email. Travis, buy the truth and do not sell it. Right. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Proverbs 23 and verse 23. That's essentially the attitude of the sincere person. And think about the do not sell it part. No matter what's offered, no matter what somebody will give you in exchange for it, say no. Sincere person says no. This is what I got to have. Go ahead and get after your song, but we'll sing the song of encouragement here in just a moment. I believe that the baptistry is ready. At least it can be made ready as we remove those cushions. Best I know, the water heater is working fine. And so the water will be plenty warm. And so really everything is ready. But the big question is, are you? Are you ready tonight to obey the gospel? You know all of the preparations that God has made for you. What He did for you through His Son. Would you not respond to Him tonight? Become a Christian. If that's your desire tonight, please let it be known as we stand and sing.